The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. How are you today? Oh, that's good. Good. Are you ready for Christmas? Yeah, it's December. Hey, I have a couple of things I want to do before we get into the Word. And Mike and Tara, y'all are way up in the balcony. Can I have you join me for just a minute? You didn't know I was going to ask you to come. So I'm going to give you a second to come down. It's a real treat for my parents to be with us today. Will you welcome them? I don't always acknowledge when they're here, but I really like it when they're here. If you don't know, my parents planted this church Easter Sunday of 1990, and it's just, they don't get to be here very often, and it's a treat for them to be here. Also a treat to be here is Teen Challenge of New Mexico is joining us today. The Men's Center and the Women's Center, bunch of them sitting right in this section, a few other places. Y'all come on up here. I'll just keep talking. Hey, Teen Challenge, I want you to know you're some of my favorite people ever anywhere on the planet. We love you here at Harvest. I say it every time you're here, but I wish you'd come every single week. And I really mean that because we love it when you're here. We love what God's doing in your lives. It's so, so fun to come alongside of what God's doing in each and every one of your lives. And so thank you for being here today, and Merry Christmas to all of you. Hi, guys. I love surprising people. You didn't know I was going to call you up, but we were talking. Actually, Guy Gleason came to me a few weeks ago. We were talking. It was after the big November food giveaway at Food Pantry. If you don't know, Mike and Tara lead our food pantry ministry. They do an incredible job, and I just wanted to get you up here and brag on you for just a second. There's often stories behind the story, and I'll just tell you one. In November, we got a call the week of Food Pantry, and our provider said, hey, we're not going to be able to bring the food. And Mike and Tara just said, that is not acceptable. We have to do this. And so they jumped through hoops. They called everybody. They figured it out. And there's too much to go into, but you guys pulled it off, all right? It was our biggest one of the whole year. And so after that, Guy called me, and he's like, Pastor, we got to do something for Mike and Tara just to show them how thankful we are for them. And so the Food Pantry team has got a card together. There's a little gift card in here for you guys. And we just wanted to bring you up here. It's a month of showing Thanksgiving and being generous and showing our love and bragging on great people. And y'all are easy to brag on. And so this is for you. And we just love you guys so much. So thank y'all for all that you do, all that you do. What an incredible ministry. What an incredible ministry. Hey, and I can't wait for the 17th. We're going to have about 40 families from our community that'll come here. We're going to give every one of them a food basket with everything they need for a great Christmas dinner. It'll have everything in it. We're going to give every one of the kids toys. We're going to help them wrap the toys. We're going to take Christmas pictures with Santa and Miss Claus. Like, it's going to be phenomenal. And so next week, you'll have to. This week, your job is to take a tag and go buy a present. Next week, I'm going to ask you to sign up to come and to serve and to be a part of that day. But it's going to be incredible. It's one of my favorite days that we get to do all year long. It's so much fun. This is a fun time. This is a fun time of year, right? It's a fun time of year. Well, we've been in a series called We Live With Open Hands. It's a series about generosity. That's kind of the way we express it, is when we say we live with open hands, it's us saying we've made a decision to be generous. And I say this most of the weeks, but generous is not just about money, even though our money is the easiest place to measure our generosity, but it's really a lifestyle. And we say when we live with open hands, what we're saying is we're choosing to live our lives generously. We're choosing to open up our hearts and our hands and our lives and our homes and our schedules and everything about our lives to be generous. And here at Harvest, you just need to know that we really do believe it's the best way to live. Like we really, really do. We don't just talk about generosity, you know, one Sunday a year or one series a year. It's a theme throughout everything that we do. We've made a decision at Harvest to live with open hands. And I thought that during December, what I would do is I would connect this series on generosity with the Christmas story. If you don't know, the Christmas story is really a story about generosity. It's really a story about how God opened his hands to the world. Probably the most famous scripture in the Bible. It's not necessarily a Christmas verse, but it really is, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he opened his hands. And he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him would be saved." That's the idea, is that God opened his hands. Probably one of the Christmas stories in two of the Gospels, and one of them is found in Luke chapter 2, and I'll just read it to you quickly. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says this: "She," talking about Mary, "gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" And pay attention to this line, because this is what we're going to talk about today. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Today, I want to talk to you about the idea that God opened his hands so that you and I can have joy. Does anyone need a little extra joy in their lives? Anyone? A little bit of joy. Let me tell you today, good news, that because God opened his hands, today, available to you and your family is joy. I want to do something before we go any further. We do this most Sundays. We take a moment, we pause, and I ask you to pray a prayer with me. And this prayer has a really specific purpose. It's different than any other prayer that we'll pray today. This prayer is, I'm asking you to open your heart to what God has to say to you and your family today. And here's the thing about this prayer: you can't pray it for someone else. You can't pray for the person sitting next to you, even though they might need it. You might be thinking right now, "Boy, my spouse could use some joy right now." All right, you don't get to pray that prayer for them. You can't pray for the person across the room. You can only pray it for yourself. But we believe at Harvest, every time we open God's word, that it speaks to us. But we believe that if we position ourselves and we ask the Holy Spirit to do what he does best, and to convict and to guide and to talk to us, that he'll do that. And so this is an important part of how we do this thing called church. So how many of you are ready to pray this prayer with me today? All right, let's pray. Father, we are so excited to open your word today and to learn through a very familiar story, the Christmas story, how you opened your hands and you have made available to us joy. So we pause, and I don't know exactly what's going on in every one of our lives, but some of us need this really, really bad today. And so we pause, and we push out any distraction, and we listen. We're listening intently for what you would say to us today. Holy Spirit, have your way today in this room, in our lives. Speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Would it be all right if I started with a cheesy Christmas joke? Would that be? I haven't told you a cheesy joke in a while, all right? So, and this one goes. This one goes with the idea of joy, all right? So there was a judge, and he was in a kind of a merry mood. It was December, and so he asked the person, the defendant, he said, "Hey, what are you charged with?" And the defendant replied, he said, "Judge, all I did was I was doing my Christmas shopping early. I don't see what's wrong with that." And the judge says, "Yeah, that doesn't make sense. How early did you start the Christmas shopping?" And he said, "Well, before the store opened." You see, he was just a little excited, right? He wanted to start early for his Christmas shopping. Jace kind of beat me to the punch this morning. He was asking, how many of you have already finished your Christmas shopping? And, you know, there was like six of you. There wasn't very, very many. Let me ask you this. How many of you have already decorated for Christmas? Anyone? Okay. More of you have decorated for Christmas. All right. Here's maybe the most important question. When is the appropriate time to start singing Christmas music? Okay, when? Hold on. You're yelling back at me. It's okay. So, how many of you say never? Let's just start right there. Never. Anyone? Never. All right. There's the Grinches right there. You can identify the Grinches. I'll tell you a story, and then I'll pull the rest of you. I had to go out of town on November the 6th. I went by myself. Lisa and the girls stayed here. I got home on November the 9th. Okay, I'm telling you the dates because it was early November. November the 9th is before Thanksgiving, in case you're not sure of your calendar. And when I got home on November the 9th, I opened the door to find that our Christmas tree was up, that the stockings were hung, that the Christmas mugs were out, that the Santa Clauses were there, that the reindeer and Christmas music was playing on November the 9th, people, November the 9th. So I gathered my gaggle of girls and I said, I am concerned because I got on the plane on November the 6th. I thought I was landing on November the 9th, but somehow the plane flew into a time warp and I landed in December. I lost a month of my life. And the girls didn't care. And they carried on singing their jolly Christmas songs on November the 9th. It's hard for me. How many of you would say it's okay that my girls sang Christmas songs on November the 9th? You're not helping me. You're not helping me. See, this is my rule. My family doesn't pay any attention. But I think you have to wait till after Thanksgiving, okay? How many agree with me? After Thanksgiving. Now, it's logical. Okay, so watch this. Christmas is better if you've allowed your heart the full experience of being thankful during Thanksgiving. That's why we have that holiday first. And then after Thanksgiving, then you can fully appreciate Christmas. Is anyone with me? All right. All right, here's the deal. Lisa's not going to listen to you. She's not going to matter. Next year, tree's going up, November 1st. They're going to sing their songs. None of this is going to matter, but I'm just having fun. I'm having fun with you. All right? I don't know when it's actually appropriate to start decorating or singing or doing any of that. So I'll just end with this, that this debate will be left unresolved. Is that okay? All right, because you're going to sing your Christmas songs whenever you want. So think about this. God began preparing for the first Christmas long before baby Jesus arrived in the manger. Long before that, you know, cute Christmas story of, you know, the Joseph and Mary coming into town and they can't find a room in the hotel, and so they end up in a manger, and in all of your nativities it's cute, the little sheep and the cows and it's beautiful, and they always leave out the smell of the manger in that, but it's cute, and there's a beautiful baby just there and swaddled. Right, swaddled in these beautiful clothes, and it's a beautiful story. Long before that, God Himself began preparing for what we now call the first Christmas. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Isaiah, and he's a prophet in the Old Testament. Some commentators call him the eagle eye prophet because his prophecies were so on point. I mean, he had the ability through the gift of God to see far into the future and to discern the plans of God. And it was his job to deliver that to the people that were living there. And so he's become known as this eagle eye prophet. He was a Hebrew prophet. And get this.
He prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born that this baby was going to come into the world that was going to be the Savior of the world. 700 years before. It's a pretty good prophet. He was prophesying to a people in that time who desperately needed some good news. They were weary. They were beat down. They were living in exile. And so this message of a Savior, of a King, of a Redeemer, this message was well received to the people, but it was going to be 700 more years before this baby was born. But I have some really good news for you and I today, is that the prophecy that I'm going to show you in just a second about Isaiah has already been fulfilled, which means it's available to you and your family today. So I'll just say it today again. God opened his hands so that you could have joy. Now the problem is that it seems to me that everything that it's challenging about life gets accentuated and amplified during the holidays. Have you noticed this? I went to the grocery store the other day. I called Lisa and checked in, and she needed a couple of items for the dinner she was going to make. And so she sent me a list, and I went to the store, and already there's a hustle and a bustle that hasn't been there for a little while. You know, already, you know, people are with their carts like cutting me off, you know, and wanting them, you know, grabbing and just clamoring and getting things, and the lines were long. And of course, there's never enough workers anymore at any store, you know? And so it's just my stress level just kind of went up just a little bit. I didn't do anything bad, just kind of raised just a little bit. And I thought, you know what? This is supposed to be a happy time of year, right? Supposed to be a joyful time of year. This is supposed to be a peaceful time of year. But I'm just telling you, go into the stores right now, it's anything but that. The anxiety this time of year goes up. People are trying to figure out how they're going to pay for the big Christmas dinner. They're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for the big Christmas list of things that their children are wanting. They're trying to figure it out. And the stress is going up, and the anxiety is going up, and the worry is going up. And what I've noticed is that while the holidays are supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, they're often, for many families, they're some of the most stressful times, some of the most painful times. Some of those difficult times, what's meant to be a joyful celebration, often turns our challenges and our difficulties, and just kind of turns the knob up a little bit. And as a result, our joy often has been stolen. Have you ever had your joy stolen? It's just like you're just going about your day, and someone says something, someone does something, and just something. Man, your joy is stolen. I mean, I was thinking this week about joy stealers. This time of year, we just call them Grinches, right? Just Grinches, like they're just stealing our joy. You know, I started thinking about you know, I don't know if you have anyone like this, but there's some people in my life that it's like God put them in my path intentionally just to try to steal my joy. Do you have anyone in your life like that? Do not say out loud that you're married to them, okay? Do not. We'll have other issues if you say that, okay? Sometimes, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, you know, someone. It's just like, it's like, why are you here on earth other than to steal my joy, right? I think about joy stealers, and I just think about cats. Let's think about cats. This little furry joy stealers, Jacob, right? I'm just like, why? Why? God, why? I don't understand. I think about long lines. Long lines. Does that steal your joy? Long lines? I went to Target the other day. The line was like to the back of the store. I'm like, Lisa, can we leave, please? It'd steal my joy. I think about IKEA. Y'all, when I drive past IKEA, I just have an anxiety attack. Why would you sell me furniture that I have to put together with instructions in another language? You're stealing my joy, and I paid you for it. It's not right. It's not right. I'm just telling you. I don't know what steals your joy. I don't know, man. I don't know. But there's some joy stealers, some joy stealers. I'll just categorize it this way. The enemy will steal your joy in a couple of ways, okay? Number one, the enemy will steal your joys by reminding you of things that happened in your past, okay? Has anyone had anything happen in your past that you're ashamed of, that you're not proud of, that when you remember it, it just kind of steals your joy? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that pain. I can't believe that difficulty. And I'm just telling you, one of the things the enemy will do is it just reminds you of your past. And his whole ploy is, because it's your past, it's already gone, is just to rob you of the joy in the present because of the things that happened in the past. He'll steal your joy. And here's the other deal is he'll try to steal your joy because things that are happening now in the present. You see, some of you right now, you're like, yeah, there's bills I can't pay today. There's family I'm fighting with today. There's kids that I can't stand today. There's things at work that I have to show up to tomorrow, Monday morning. And so the enemy will try to steal your joy because of difficult circumstances that are happening right now. So if he can't remind you of your past, and if life's good right now, and you're like, that's not me, here's the other thing he'll do, is he'll try to plant in your brain worry for the things that might happen tomorrow. He's a sneaky little turd, isn't he? And you're like, Pastor, it sounds to me like the enemy is using all of the time, you know, before, now, and later to steal my joy. Yes. That's exactly what he's doing. Can I remind you what John 10 says? That the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His plan is to steal joy from your life. So my hope today is to remind you that because God opened his hands and sent his son into this earth, that you can have joy. Now let me get to, I mentioned the eagle-eyed prophet, Isaiah. Let me show you what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus came to earth. This is found in Isaiah chapter 9. It says this, "Nevertheless," you're going to love how this starts, "there will be no more gloom." Isn't that awesome? "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." In other words, there's joy coming. "On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning." I'll explain in a minute. "Will be fuel for the fire." And then here it is. Here's the Christmas story. Here's Isaiah 700 years before this happens. "For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." What an incredible prophecy. That prophecy hopefully already brought you some joy. I hope that it did. But let me talk to you for just a few minutes today. God opened his hands so you can have joy. And I just want to remind you today. I have three things I want to remind you today. And the first one is this. It's really simple. That joy is for you. Joy is for you. Listen again to the announcement that the angel made to the shepherds in the Christmas story. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." How many of the people? All of the people. Let me tell you again, joy of the Lord is for you. You see, so much in our world today is reserved for a select group of people. So much in the world is for special people. Let me see if I can illustrate. Do I have anyone in the room that you are a Costco shopper? Come on. Costco shoppers. I don't know why, but Costco shoppers are fanatical about Costco shopping. All right. Sam's Club shoppers. Where am I? Sam's Club shopper. All right. I'm not going to leave you out. Anyone has both memberships? All right. There we go. Costco. If you try to go to Costco, you got to be special. Did you know this? You have to show them your Costco card. This will show you my rebellious streak, but it's okay. I hate showing my Costco card to get into the store. I hate it. I'm going to show it at the register to pay. Why do I have to show it at the door to get in? Just let me get in. Let me go look around. Let me decide. Like, why? Why? You know why? Because if you don't have a card, they want to make sure you know you don't have a card because you're not special. That's why. So this is my rebellious streak. I go to Costco. The opening is like 6 foot wide. The girl is on the right side every time. She's looking, she's eagle eye for the Costco card. I go and I wait until there's a group of people going and I get on the left side, and as they're going in, I put my head down, don't make eye contact, and I walk fast. I'm not even joking. Choo, 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 choo. And you know what I hear? Sir, 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 sir. Choo, choo. I just keep going. Sir, sir, I need to see your Costco card. I turn around, I go, happy now? I don't know what it is. Just, I'll come to the altar later. There's something about it, all right? I don't like being reminded. You have to be in the club. You have to be special. You have to pay a membership to get in. And the world's full of stuff like that. You signed up for our perks. Do you have the app? Did you do this? Sir, you can't come in here now. You can't. Y'all. It's a good counseling for me. Have you ever been in the airport and you walk past one of the lounges and you're not a member and the door opens and you can just tell there is a party happening in there and I don't get to go? It's awful. Does that ever happen to any of y'all? So many times I've stood outside the door and I'm like, how do you join the club in the airport? And I'm like, oh, $10,000? No, I do it right now. I want to be in the club. I just want to be. The world's full of opportunities to make you feel left out. But I have really good news for you today. Joy is for you. You don't have to have a Costco card, all right? They'll want you to think it will bring you joy. It really won't. You'll just pay for lots of groceries and there's no joy in that. You don't have to be special. Listen, the announcement by the angel was good news for great that will cause great joy for all of the people. Isn't that awesome? I just want to remind you today that the joy is for you. The message of Jesus is so different than the message of the world. The message of the world is that to get good things, you got to be special. You got to be in the club. You got to be in the know. But Jesus shows up on the scene, and because of his birth and this promise of joy for all people, I'm just telling you, everything changes. Everything changes. In Luke chapter 4, we find the first time that it's recorded that Jesus cites scripture. He quotes scripture the first time. And so I think it's interesting because it's the first time. And it says this in Luke 4, he stood up to read, and the scroll, so he takes a scroll and he opens it, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was opened up. Which is kind of interesting because now Jesus is about to quote the prophet who prophesied 700 years before that he was going to come into the world to bring you joy, right? And Jesus opens the scroll of Isaiah and listen to what he says. He says this. He says, unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, let me just ask you a really simple, not tricky question. Does that passage sound like Jesus came to help special people? I don't think so. He came to help the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed, or a simpler way to say it, Jesus came for everyone. When he came, he opened the door so that everyone could have this joy that we're talking about today. Do me a favor, just look at your neighbor and just remind him today. Say, hey, the joy of the Lord is for you. Tell him. Just tell the person next to you. And then tell the person on the other side, say, you look like you need to know that the joy of the Lord is for you. Just tell, you picked which one you went to first. I'm just telling you today that the joy that's available in this Christmas story is for you and your family. Now here's the second thing I want you to know. That joy is different from happiness, okay? Joy is different from happiness. Luke chapter 1, Mary learns that she's going to give birth to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1, she sings a song. And it says this in her song. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. All right, there's some joy there. It rejoices in God my Savior. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, the wise men are now searching for Jesus. And it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. In the King James Version, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. What a phrase. Rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The wise men were so overjoyed. It's like Matthew is at a loss for words to describe their joy. Matthew said, how do I describe the joy that the wise men have? And this is what he came with, is they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That's a lot. That's a lot of joy. I love how the MacArthur commentary describes this. He writes this, the original text piles up superlatives to emphasize the extent of exhilaration that they felt, thus indicating to us this their uniquely strong interest in this great event. In both of these gospels, the writers are careful with their words. They use the word joy, not happy. And I think it's because there's a difference between the two. Let me see if I can help you. There's a couple of differences. Joy is internal, while happiness is more external. Okay? People get happy when their team wins. Am I right? Some of you're a fan of a particular team, and when your team wins, you're excited. I've been to the football group. I have watched Rachel cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers on. I have also watched her cry when they're losing, okay? I've consoled Tom when the Raiders have lost, which happens quite a bit. I've high-fived Jacob because the Cowboys finally won, right? Right? People get happy, it's external. When their team wins, people get happy when you ask the date out and they say yes, right? When I asked Lisa out, true story, the first time I asked her out, she said no, but then she said yes, and I got happy, right? Get happy, external. There's an external thing that happens that makes us happy. We get happy when we get something new. Right? We get happy when someone gives us a gift. We get happy. Would you be happy if your boss gave you a raise tomorrow? Yes. But all I'm saying is joy is internal. Happiness is external. Okay? I could probably make someone happy right now. Do you think I could? Do you think I can make someone happy right now? Does anyone like Starbucks? Now that Brady Alexander is not here, come up here. Come up here. Now that Brady's not here, I can talk about Starbucks. He was a Starbucks snob, all right? Come on. Would it make you happy? She's already smiling. Do you see this? She didn't even know what's happening. I told you. I knew I can. Would it make you happy if I gave you a Starbucks gift card? I love your smile. That's why I picked you. Look at that. Do you see the happiness? Do you see how easy it was for me to make her happy? All I have to do is do something external to make her happy. There you go. Thanks for being here today. Joy is different. Joy is internal. John 15:11. I have told you this so that my joy may be, watch this, in you. Joy is in you, and that your joy may be made complete. So if this is true, then we can surmise that too often we are looking for joy in all of the wrong places. We're hoping that the raise will give us joy. We're hoping that the date will give us joy. We're hoping that the gift will give us joy. But none of that, it might make you happy, but it doesn't give you joy, because joy happens on the inside, which brings me to this difference. Joy is lasting, but happiness is fleeting. She's going to spend that gift card. It's $15. That'll buy her about two drinks. Inflation, right? First drink, she'll be happy. She's like, man, I love Pastor Jason. I'm so happy. She'll go back. She'll get a second drink. She'll say, I'm so happy. She'll go back for a third drink. She'll order a drink. They'll run her card. They'll say, ma'am, you have 37 cents left. She won't be happy. Right? Because happiness is fleeting. Because as soon as the thing changes that made you happy, so does your happiness. That's the problem. Happiness comes and then it runs away. It's just fleeting. It just goes. But joy, here's what's awesome about joy. Joy can survive whatever life throws at you. Joy survives. It is lasting. That's why James tells us in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Y'all, this verse doesn't even make sense in the natural. Why would I be joyful while I'm facing a trial? Because joy is lasting. Because it survives hard times. Because when the rug gets ripped out from under you, you can still have joy even though your happiness has ran away. It's different. I'm just telling you, it's different. Joy is internal. Joy is lasting. Here's another one. Joy is spiritual. Happiness is natural. Happiness comes from natural things. Experiences, food, gifts, money, the happiness that comes with those things, it's natural, but joy comes from the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 describes the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when you plant your life in Christ, then your life will naturally bear fruit, just like a fruit tree. If you plant a tree by water and you take care of it, it'll produce fruit. And if you plant your life by Christ, it'll produce fruit. And Galatians 5 lists, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, and it lists it out. And one of them is joy. The fruit, the byproduct of living planted in Christ is joy. It comes from the Lord. Nehemiah understood this. He had a difficult undertaking of rebuilding the wall after it had been destroyed by war. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, he says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy comes from the Lord. It's not something that's manufactured because of a natural thing. It comes from inside. It is lasting. It is spiritual. And so this is my prayer for you. This is what I've been praying for you. In case you're wondering, what has Jason been praying for me this week? Because I do. I pray for you. Did you know that? I pray for you. Here's my prayer for you. Every single one of you. Here's my prayer for you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This week, every time I've come to a time to pray for you, that's what I've prayed. I prayed, Lord, I don't know what's happening in my friends at Harvest lives. I don't know what's happening in their marriage. I don't know what's happening at Teen Challenge. I don't know what's happening to the balcony people. I don't know what's happening in your kids' lives. But I prayed, but Lord, may the God of hope fill them with joy. They may not be happy right now, but give them joy. Give them hope so much that it would overflow. That it would overflow. Here's the last one. Difference. Here's the difference. joy is deep, happiness is superficial. Did you know that you can fake being happy? Did you know that? You can fake it. Sometimes Lisa and I will be going somewhere and I won't be very happy about it. Has that ever happened in your marriage? Be going to a party I don't want to go to. I'm not in the mood. I don't want to be there. And we're going there, and Lisa gives me a pep talk. Husbands, that ever happened in your cars, in your life? She'll give me a pep talk. She'll say, Jason, you need to smile when we get there. Your face doesn't look happy. I need you to look happy. I say, I'm not happy. She goes, I don't care. I need you to look happy. She'll say, Jason, I need you to talk to people. She says, Jason, I need you to be nice. See, some of you only see him on Sunday mornings, and you think I'm nice. It's just Sunday mornings. I give myself a pep talk on Sunday mornings. I look in the mirror, I say, Jason, it's Sunday. Be nice. You can fake being happy. Did you know this? You can fake it. You put a smile on. Some of you do it. You put a smile on. And you walk into church or small group and someone says, how's it going? And your life is falling apart. But you smile and you shake their hand and you say, I'm doing so good. It has never, ever been better. Like, really. I can't even stop smiling. It's so good. And you leave church and you lock your bedroom door and you cry your heart out. Happiness is so superficial. Joy is deep. Probably the best way for me to show it to you is in the life of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Let me just tell you, the cross was not a cute piece of jewelry to hang around your neck. It wasn't a painting on the wall. It was an implement of torture. And Jesus knew this. And he knew he was going to give himself up to go to the cross for you and for me and for our sins. And it was not going to be fun. It was going to be painful and torturous and awful. But watch this. But he says, but for the joy before me. In other words, he said, you know what, God? I'm not going to like this, but the end is going to be worth it because I'm going to pay the price so that in 2022 at Harvest, there's some people there that will be able to give their hearts to you because of the price I'm going to pay. They'll find forgiveness of sins. They'll be set free from addiction. They'll be made whole again. You will restore their lives. And so because of the joy of that I have in my mind, I'll go to the cross. I'll endure it. I'll go ahead and I'll do it. I'm just saying joy is deep. Joy is for you. Joy is different. It's different than happiness. Did I make my case? Joy is different than happiness. And here's the last thing I want to remind you of today is that joy is a gift. Joy is a gift. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there, by the way, presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not P-R-E-S-E-N-T. It's kind of weird because I told you it's a gift, but it says, in my presence, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. At some point, didn't our team do amazing with our Christmas stage decorations? They did awesome. It's beautiful. At some point this month, you're going to gather with friends, loved ones, family. You're going to have a tree probably somewhere. There will be some gifts that are wrapped. If you're like my wife, they'll be beautifully wrapped. If you're like me, they'll be in a bag. This is how I do it. You're going to come to the tree and you're going to exchange some gifts with one another. And when it comes time to open the gift. It don't matter if it's beautiful. It doesn't matter if it was wrapped by a six-year-old. It doesn't matter if your husband put it in a bag. You will open it without reservation, right? I mean, you will. How many of you open your presents carefully? Anyone? You just open them, just undo the. Oh, you probably do, huh, Ashley? Do you save your bows and your? Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that about you, Mitch. You don't do that. You rip them open, don't you? I knew it. All right, here we go. And then burn it. In the fire. Okay, there we go. Next level with Mitch Kennedy. However you open it, you're gonna open your present. I wanna find out what is inside of my present. And that's exactly how I want you to come to the Lord today. In a minute, not yet. The worship team's gonna come, they're gonna help us, they're gonna sing a song, you're gonna stand, I'm gonna say, hey, if you need the joy of the Lord, I want you to pray for you. And in that moment, here's what I want you to think. The Lord is giving you a gift of joy. And it's not enough to just have the gift. You're gonna open that gift without reservation, saying, this gift is for me, like to Jason from God. Woo, I'm gonna rip it open and I'm gonna receive the gift of joy. I'm gonna receive it. For just a moment, go back to the prophecy by Isaiah, because I want to remind you that when you open your hands and you receive this gift, I want to remind you what you're getting. Isaiah said, he started this way. He said, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. I don't know about you, but I've had all the gloom that I need the last couple of years. I mean, the last couple of years, it's just gloomy on gloomy with a little extra gloomy on the side. Am I right? I mean, every news report, we're all gonna die. Every news report, it's all terrible. Every news report, the stock market's crashing. Every news report, your retirement's going away. It's just like gloom and gloom and gloom and gloom and gloom. I'm tired of it. And I just love that Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus came, he said, hey guys, when Jesus comes, no more gloom to those who are in distress. Is that a gift for you in 2022 or what? No more gloom. He says, this is the joy. Dark places are illuminated. He said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness. Maybe that's you today. You're like, it is deep, Pastor. It is so dark, I can't see the hand in front of my face. Have you ever been in a cave that's so dark you can't see the hand? That's a weird thing, right? It's weird. It's like the inside of a cow. It's just, you can't see nothing. And Isaiah said, in those places, the light has been turned on. The light has dawned. I don't know about you. One of my favorite things about Christmas is the lights. Anyone like Christmas lights? At some point, we'll load up the family. We'll go driving around and we'll find the best Christmas lights. Lisa will research it and she'll find places online. You know, this house has lights and this house has lights and music. And this house, you know, and we'll go driving around and we'll look at the lights. I like the lights. I don't like the songs. I do like the lights. Just to be clear, I like the lights. Amen. Thank you. I like the lights. A couple of weeks ago, you know, the girls surprised me on November the 9th, right, with their Christmas decorations. So about a week and a half ago, the girls were at basketball. Mercy was in town for Thanksgiving. Her and Lisa were shopping. So I went home and I surprised them and I decorated the outside of the house with lights. And I went to the store and I bought a new little light up deer because I like deer. And I honestly didn't think my family would like it, but I liked it. So I put a nice little white light up deer in our front yard and they loved it. Oh, they loved it. Like, Dad, there's a deer in our yard. I'm like, I know, it's awesome. And then I had this idea. I was like, you know what our house needs? We back up to a main road. So I was like, I want a big star on the back of our house to remind people of the star that led the wise men to Jesus. And so I went online and I was like, how big of a star can I find? And I found a 48-inch tall star. It's almost as tall as our youngest daughter, Eden. Like, it's big. It's awesome. And I didn't tell anybody. I ordered the star. The star came in, and one night, all the girls were in bed, and I was up on the roof hanging a star. and woke Lisa up. She thought someone was breaking into the house. It was awesome. But she's a pacifist, so she didn't shoot me on the way in. It was good. And I just, man, when I plugged that sucker in, the light just lit up the backyard. It was like 11:30. I got in my truck and I drove out. I drove down the road so I could see my stars. I wanted to see it shining in the dark. I'm so proud of my little 48-inch star. I'm so proud of it. I don't know. It just does something to my heart to see the light shining in the darkness. So Isaiah, he prophesied. He said, there's going to be no more gloom. Dark places are going to be illuminated. And then he said this, and joy is going to be increased. He said, you have enlarged the nation. Increase their joy. I don't know. I have an idea that some of you need an increase in your joy today. Just a little. Turn it up, right? Just turn it up. Just a little bit. Just turn up. Increase the joy. And Isaiah gave us a couple of metaphors. He said, it's like a farmer who's reaping his harvest. Think about it. I don't know if you're a farmer or not. Probably not. You live in Albuquerque. But a farmer will go and work the soil and till the soil and do the hard work and plant the seed and take care of it and tend to it. And they're waiting and they're waiting. And one day it sprouts up and then they watch it and they make sure it's protected and taken care of. And the day comes when they finally, all the hard work pays off and they get to harvest. It's a joyful day. All the work is paid up. Now I get to reap the harvest. And then the second thing Isaiah tells us, he says, it's like a victorious warrior. And I like this one. He gets a little crazy when he talks about it. He's like, the warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. And he starts talking about bloody boots. And I mean, he's talking about a warrior who went into battle and did what needed to be done. And he recovered. He plundered from the enemy. And he gathered that up. And he brings it home. And he's dividing the plunder. And he's saying, hey, this is for you. And this is your share. And this is your share. And they're rejoicing. Like, oh man, we took care of that enemy. Look at the plunder. Look at the treasure. Look at this. And they're joyful. Like we won the war. I'm thankful that Isaiah didn't just say, hey, the baby came and you have happiness. He says, no, you have joy. Joy like a farmer at harvest. Joy like a victorious warrior. Why don't you stand with me? Why don't you stand with me today? Let me just remind you, God opened his hands. And he sent his son. We're going to be talking all month. We're talking about the Christmas story. He sent his son so that you can have joy. So that you can have joy. Our worship team's going to lead us in a final song. And I have one more thing to tell you. But I'm going to wait because it's really going to be the most meaningful for those of you that respond to this and say, man, Pastor, I need an increase in my joy today. I need an increase in, you know, I've been chasing happiness, but it's fleeting. And what I really want is I want joy. I want what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord will become my strength. I want joy that's lasting. I want joy that's deep. I want joy that's what I want. And some of you, I'm going to ask you as they sing in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you one last thing. I'm going to use this little present. I'm going to show you one last thing and then we're going to pray. And I'm believing what I've been praying for you all week out of Romans, that the God of hope will give you joy despite whatever it is that's happening in your life today. Because happiness is external, but joy is internal. It's deep. It's spiritual. And it's for you, but it's a gift. So worship team, why don't you help me and lead us in one final song? And if you'd say today, Pastor, I need a little bit of increase in my joy, would you just move from wherever you're at in the balcony or down here, just step out from where you're at and come to the front right here. And I'm gonna come back in a minute. We're gonna pray and we're gonna believe God for a gift of joy to come into your life.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.